Mitchell Rosansky from Dallas, Texas. I'd like to know, first of all, when you were a child, undoubtedly you've only been in Israel 3 years, more or less. Is this right?
In Israel?
Yes.
Every year.
Okay. Why, first of all, did your family, I don't want to say the word practice, but did they observe the Jewish?
No, nothing.
And second of all, I'd like you to explain personally yourself how you went about getting out of Israel. I mean, getting out of Russia, excuse me, getting out of Russia, moving
to Russia.
You mean
the whole procedure?
Yes, I'd like to know how you arranged it and why. Of course, it's pretty obvious why.
Well, I think I just got tired of feeling humiliated all the time. I think it was the main reason. I didn't want to be humiliated anymore. I just wanted to be a human being like anybody else, but Jew.
How long did it take you from when you first had the idea and started doing something about it till you finally left, got your visa?
Well, if you mean when I finally made my mind up and took a decision, it was a spring last year. It means I decided that whatever will happen, I must go to Israel. I can't stay there anymore. I wasn't sure that it is so easy. Of course, I was sure that it is very difficult. But I knew that somehow I'll get out. Then my first step was to find some people who feel the same way. It means to find some Jews and maybe to get some information from them, and of course to receive the support from them, because to be alone in this enterprise and well, in this it's very hard to have everybody around you against you. It's very hard. So I needed friends, I needed people like me. Where to find them? My first thought was to go to synagogue, not to pray, but to meet Jewish people. And it was the first time I went to synagogue. I asked some old man, when is the next Jewish holiday? And he told me that the next Jewish holiday is the first Seder. It was, I think, 21st of April last year. I went to synagogue and there was a crowd, mostly young people, singing and dancing and screaming, "We are Jews." It was their prayer. Most of them weren't religious, And I think their only prayer was the words, "We are Jews." So I joined one group, and I asked them, do they want to leave Russia and go to Israel? And some of them said yes. And I learned that some of them are trying to do that for years. Some of them for months. And I learned that some of them left Russia already. They have some friends who left for Israel, and so it was possible. It was difficult, but possible. Then my next step was to find some relatives in Israel, because, you know, in order to apply for a visa, you have to have an invitation from your relatives in Israel. Finally, I found some very distant relatives, and I wrote a letter asking them for invitation. It took a long time to get an invitation from them. They were ready to send it straight away, but their first invitation didn't get to me. I didn't receive it. I just got a letter saying that they sent it, but it never arrived.
Do you feel that your mail at that time was being...
I didn't feel. I knew.
You knew that it was...
Yes.
Both your outgoing and incoming.
Yes. For foreign countries, mm-hmm. Not inside Russia. So I asked them again, and they've sent it again, and finally I've got it.
Does it occur that invitations come to people from people who are not relatives?
Well, you can guess, because not everybody has relatives in Israel.
If you write to someone, it can be
well,
arranged.
They have ways to let people know that they want to get an invitation. And, you know, in a way, we feel that everybody in Israel are our relatives.
Go back in that bloodline.
Do you have any brothers or sisters?
Yes, I do.
I don't think we ought to know how many.
I wanted to ask you two questions. One is, was your feeling, or was it not just yours, but other Jews in Russia, feeling towards Israel stimulated during the Six-Day War?
Of course it
was. Was there any feeling prior to the Six-Day War?
I think that long before Six-Day War, there were very strong feelings for Israel. But an information about Israel is very scarce in Soviet Union. What we learned from Six-Day War, one very important thing, that Jewish people are not always weak people, not always humiliated people, that they can fight and win. So why can't we fight and win too?
Yeah, because feeling to go to Israel or the stronger feeling to leave Russia? In other words, if the United States were to open its immigration laws and Russian Jews could come to the United States as freely as they can go to Israel, would there be a greater immigration to the United States, or would the draw to Israel be stronger?
Speaking about Russian Jews, not all Soviet citizens, but Jews, I think that for them the most important thing is to go out of Russia to Israel, not just to go out of Russia. Because to leave Russia for any other, I'm not talking about every Jew in Soviet Union, I can't speak for everybody, but for most of them, I think, to leave Russia and to go just to any other foreign country, it wouldn't be a solution of their problem. Because their problem is to become Jews, to find a place where they belong to, and they have a very strong feeling that they belong to their people in Israel.
You mentioned an interesting problem, which is a growing one, I think, in Israel, and that is the feeling on the part of Israelis, if there is that feeling, of fear of too many Russian immigrants or too many Jewish people coming into Israel
from Russia.
Is this a feeling that you have, or is this something that you have experienced in Israel since you've been there?
Well, I think that American Jews created an image of Soviet Jews as a fighter, a hero, a leader. Don't forget that Soviet Jews, like everybody else, are just people. And they may fight inside Russia for their visas, but when they come to Israel, they are again just human beings with all their weakness, with all their need for help. They are not fighters anymore, they are not heroes anymore, and they need what everybody else needs. But people in Israel are also just people. They are very glad that Soviet immigrants come to Israel. They understand generally that it is good for Israel and it is good for Jewish people. I emphasize, they understand the problem generally, but when they are concerned personally, when their jobs are concerned, it's very natural that they may be afraid of invasion of highly skilled Soviet professionals who may be sometimes even better in their professions than Israelis are. So they sometimes, they are afraid that these people will take their jobs. It's quite natural, I think. And I personally am so certain that my place in Israel, that nothing can give me a feeling I'm not wanted there. And moreover, I feel that even if somebody says, oh, you come and you want to take my job, for me it's nothing. I know that all I can do for Israel is to be there, to live there. This is the only support I can bring to my country. And for most Russian Jews, ex-Russian Jews, this is obvious. But you know, life is a life, and sometimes you get lonely, you are homesick, and you write just this letter I mentioned before. There is nothing Soviet Jews are afraid of. The fear they are not wanted in Israel. This is the only thing which can stop them. I tell you, the only thing.
There was, I don't want to doubt, but there was feeling, and there were groups of Soviet Jews that came to Israel recently with a decision in advance. How they arrived at that, I don't know. Of certain places that they wanted to be located, and very definite opinions as to where they wanted to be located, and there was some difficulty in regard to locating them in places other than they had.
All this is true. You are completely right. And some people coming from Russia are sometimes too demanding.
The question I really was going to ask is, how do they, or what makes them decide when they're in the Soviet Union?
Well, some rumors, or they have relatives there, or they think that they'll find easily a job there, or they think that the climate is more...
There aren't any religious elements to that.
There are. Some of them, for some of them, it's very important for religious people. They want to live in religious villages that are far. For religious people, it's a reason, a very important reason, just to find a place to be housed where they have a religious community. They have many, many reasons to choose some place or another. And they are not always right. Not always they understand all difficulties which faces Israel in absorbing them. That's right, but there is nothing to do with it.
Let me
just to help them.
Let me ask a question.
I left the room, but
everyone should have first go around question before we take a second.
I just wanted to comment on this thing, and I don't think that the problem of people wanting to live in one particular place in Israel as opposed to another particular place in Israel is unique with the Jews that are coming in now. I can recall in 68, you had people coming in from Central Europe.
63 was the same.
And though professional people could not see going to kibbutzim,
right.
There were only two places in the world that they wanted. That was Jerusalem and Tel Aviv. And they had all sorts of reasons as to why the doctor should be one of four that are in a block in Tel Aviv, and you've got kibbutzim that are on the borders that people have got to go 25 miles to find the nearest doctor.
But I want to make
this, this is not a unique problem with the people coming in from Russia.
I want to make reference to Bernstein's statement on his tape, and that is that, you know, this is a problem that has to be solved with the Russians a hell of a lot quicker than it was with the people coming in from all the Morocco.
And it is connected. You know, why all this problem of Black Panthers? Where from? I think it is connected with immigration from Russia too.
Certainly, any time that a person sees that somebody who's coming in receives things that they don't receive, there's an area where they want to demand it, and being vocal and bringing your cause and pleading it
is
a way that action is going to be gotten. They worked for 3 years that I know of without getting any action other than a stall. It was in budgets and budgets never got to that point because there wasn't enough money.
I'm curious, what is the comparative living standard that the average coming out of Russia, his experience in Russia, is compared to what you find
in Israel? It depends from what part of Russia they came. If they came from Moscow or from Leningrad or from other big cities, their level of living was more or less the same as in Israel. If they came from small towns or villages in Russia, it was much lower. But they expect more. And you can't just change people in a few weeks or a few months. It's not a question of education. It's a question of help. Just now, the problem is not to stop immigration from Russia. Not to do anything which may stop this immigration. And then we can solve other problems.
Mitch, you had a...
Yes. Is it possible that you might be afraid of reprisals, or have you sent any invitations to any friends of yours and invited them to Russia? I mean to Israel.
Well, not my... I personally can't do it yet. Because I can't write that I'll give them all support they need. And officially, you need, in your invitation, must be written that you are able to help them. But...
Financially?
Financially. Well, but I think I helped some of them to get out of Russia.
What are you going to be doing in Israel?
Working.
What kind of...
Now I'm working in Hebrew University in Jerusalem. Society of History, they are concerned with history of Soviet Jews. This kind of work I can do now without a good knowledge of Hebrew. the good knowledge of Russian.
Suppose we're planning to break. My guest is going to take a. She has a 1 o'clock train, but there's one at 1:20 and 1:25 and what have you. If there are any other questions, it's very important that this whole very small group of fellas across the country understand what's cooking, because we're going to be talking about this for the next 4 or 5 months. And it's very important that you feel very comfortable with this particular subject matter, because this is really the guts of the conversation this year. So please, hone in on your questions.
Is everybody
good?
Yes.
I don't feel that we've gone beyond the point in Russia where you made your decision at the synagogue to go. You may not want the remainder on tape. I didn't know whether you wanted to go beyond that.
Well, something.
If you don't want something on tape, I'm sure that you can shut the machine off. But
no, I
didn't. Once the group was you had discussed this with the group, then what?
Then I asked for an invitation, then I got it, and then was a most painful thing I had to do. And this most painful thing is to ask for a reference from your work. Because to make an application, you need a recommendation from your job. It's obviously nonsense, because who needs a reference from your job? But they do it in purpose, and their purpose is quite obvious. When you ask your boss for a recommendation and you say, I need this recommendation for Department of Visas in order to make an application just to go to Israel, when you say so, everybody around you, your work, knows that you are a Zionist, that you are persona non grata in Soviet Union. And it is a crucial point. From that moment on, you know that you can't stop your effort. You must continue, because there is no life for you in Soviet Union. There is no professional career. There is nothing left for you in Soviet Union. You must continue. But it's not so easy to get a recommendation. Your boss can say, I just never heard about this kind of things, and I won't give you anything like that. And there is no official way of getting this recommendation from him. You just insist, and you complain, and you write letters, and finally you get it. Then you have to get a permission, an agreement from your parents, if your parents are not going with you.
Are you immediately fired from your job?
Not immediately, not always immediately. But what they do immediately, they call a meeting. And they say that you are not a Soviet citizen, that you are bad soliciting, that you are an enemy. They always emphasize that you are an enemy of Soviet people. And you know what it is to be an enemy of Soviet people. Under Stalin, it was straight way to the concentration camp. Now, it's not a straight way, but it can be a way. Not always to the concentration camp. It may be the way to mental hospital, and it is the worst thing which may happen to you, because from this hospital there is no way out. You have no sentence, you don't know for how long you are there, and they use all kind of treatment to make you mad. And for them, you are mad, you are insane, because somebody wanting to leave Russia for Israel is insane. And they make terrible things with people in this mental hospital, and they can finally make them really sick, and nobody will know. But there are other things that they can do. They can arrange something on the street, and you are arrested for hooliganism. This is their favorite word for Jewish activists, hooligan. You are watched, you are followed, your conversations are taped. And they make it quite obvious. They even don't hide it. We used to, when we were talking about important matters, we used to write notes and not to speak aloud. Well, when you ask your parents for permission and they are ready to give it to you, they have to stamp it, to get it stamped in their house committee. There are house committees in every house. So when they go there, your parents go there and ask for their permission to be stamped, all their house knows that their children are going to Israel. And it is very, very hard for them. So, Soviet authorities do everything they can to stop you, to discourage you, but they don't succeed. Then you apply. You gather all your papers and you make an application. Of course you have to fill all kind of forms for this. Then you make an application. And you wait. You wait for 2 months, 3, 4, 5, some people wait for years. I was lucky enough. I waited for 3 6 months, and then, like everybody else, I got a card saying, call this number. That's all. And I knew straight away what was this number. I called this number, and the voice told me, your application for an exit visa to Israel is rejected. I said, why? She said, we don't answer this kind of questions. I said, why don't you answer this kind of questions? She said, this kind of questions we don't answer either. And she said, don't complain, don't write letters to the United Nations and so on, don't take part in any demonstrations, don't do anything, you will never leave Russia, you will never go to Israel, you will stay here forever. That was all. Then I have done exactly...
Have you been fired at that time yet?
Yes. I wasn't fired, but I just lost all sources of work. I was a freelance then, so I wasn't an employee. But they just didn't need me anymore.
It's interesting, all these things that person on the other end of the line told you not to do, I get the feeling that they're like telling you what to do if you want to get
yes,
out.
I've done exactly the opposite, they told me.
Well, it's like she's giving you the list of things to do.
No, because she knew what people are doing usually.
Well, most people do what you did, don't they?
Well, not everywhere, because people used to do nothing, just to wait. But this last year, and especially in Moscow, people started to do things. So she knew what I'm going to do, and she told me not to do it, but I did everything she told me not to do.